Do you have your books with you? Let me see which book you have. I want to be sure you've got the right one. There's a black one. There's a red one. There is an Oxford. There's a Schofield. There's an Elson. There's a Finus Dake. There's a Gideon. There's an Ample. Well, that's all great. What I'm going to share with you tonight, regardless of the edition of the book that you have brought with you, the Power Pack Truth is the same. The same. Would you open now to the book of James, chapter 1. The book of James, chapter 1. And what I'm sharing with you is a powerful truth revealed to believers by the half-brother of Jesus himself. I said the half-brother of Jesus himself. James was a half-brother to Christ. Christ being the Son of God. All the other members of Jacob's family were born through the fatherhood genes of Joseph. And Joseph, being the father of the other children, made the other children half-brothers to Jesus, who was the only begotten Son of God. Now, hear what the brother of Christ has to say. James 1, verse 17. In fact, so that your faith might be stimulated, why don't you listen to yourself? Read this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And for what it is worth to you, if you're having difficulty as a believer comprehending the truths of God's Word, it could possibly be because you silently and quietly read the book. The easiest way to understand the truths of the book is to read it out loud and to punctuate it in conversational form. Literalize everything you read in the Bible. And when you apply the written word to your life practically and literally, it becomes the living word of God. Now, that being true, listen to yourself read verse 17 of James chapter 1. Hear how you sound as you read it all together. Every good. Well, everybody wasn't with me on that. Clear your voices now because you're going to read out loud. Here we go with real gusto, everybody. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You're doing so well. Read verse 18. Of his own will. Repeat that. Of his own will. Whose will? The Father above. Of his own will begat he who? Us. How? With the word of truth. Why? That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And that word creatures could easily be translated creation. That we, by his own will, have been begotten by the word of truth, that we might become his new creation. Oh, I love that, don't you? I really love that truth. I want to speak for a while tonight about the triunity of God. The triunity of the God nature. And when we understand the operation of Holy Trinity, then we are more likely to comprehend how to receive from the Godhead all of the good and perfect gifts that the Father has inventoried. Now remember this fact. We have one God. There are not three gods in the Trinity. There is but one God with three personalities. And this is so beautifully portrayed in the third chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, when the Logos, the flesh God, the earth God, one was being baptized. In fact, Jesus had submitted to water baptism at the hands of his cousin being John the Baptist. So as Jesus stood in the water, and John the Baptist had immersed him, when Jesus was lifted from the watery grave, which was a symbolic experience, something phenomenal happened. It's one of the greatest revelations of the mystery of the Godhead. For in Matthew's record, we are told that Jesus in the water was raised from the water, but suddenly there was a visitor or an appearance, a phenomenal appearance of another nature of the Godhead. It was the Holy Ghost who incarnated a white-winged fowl called a dove. And the Holy Ghost incarnating that dove came down from up above to the earth and alighted upon the wet soaked form of Jesus, the Son of God. Now, when the dove incarnate with the Holy Ghost came from above down to the body of a baptized Christ, God the Father, Creator God, could hold silence no longer. And the record of the gospel says the silence of heaven was broken. And suddenly a sepulchral rumbling thunder rolled out. It was the voice of God. And God the Father said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." Who was he talking about? John the Baptist? No. Who was he talking about? He was talking about his begotten Son, Jesus Christ. So right there in the New Testament record, you see a revelation of the three personalities of the Godhead. You see, God the Father, his representation was that thunderous voice of approval. You see, God the Holy Ghost, his representation was in the angelic form of a white-winged dove, signaling the sonship of Jesus being God's only begotten Son. Then, with your eyes, you can see the man himself, the Son of God, who was from the foundation of the world with God. John's Gospel chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the what? The Word. The Word was with God, and the Word which was with God became flesh and dwelt among us." John 1 tells us that story. So, Jesus, the Word, was in the water being baptized. So you have the presentation of Jesus, the God, the Holy Ghost, the God, and the Father, Creator, as the God. Three personalities, but one God. Now, when you understand the triple personality of the Godhead, you recognize that every promise of the Father is a promise that will be confirmed by the Son. Are you hearing me? And when the Son, which is the Word, confesses the power or the will of the Father, and then the Holy Ghost, the creative power of the Godhead, goes to work to bring it to pass. Whatever God thinks, the Word speaks. And whatever the Word speaks, the Holy Ghost performs. God thinks it, and the Word speaks it, and the Holy Ghost does it. That's the Trinity of God at work in behalf of every last one of us. So I want you to know, friend, when you turn to the Word, you're turning to the spoken will of the Father. And when you turn to the Word, the spoken will of the Father, you're relying upon the Holy Ghost to do what? To confirm the Word. What word? The word of the Father, spoken and written as the express will of Jesus the Son. So Father, Son, and Holy Ghost always work as one. Now, the half-brother of Jesus said, from the fatherhood, from the sonship, and from the Holy Ghost of God come good gifts. And the good gifts that come from above are perfect gifts. They are from the Father of light, the Father of illumination, the Father of revelation. Now, this is an astronomical truth that James, the brother of Jesus, revealed to us when he said the source of good and perfect gifts is the Father of what? Light. What lights was James talking about? The two lights that were created by the Holy Trinity when nothing but darkness surrounded the world. The lights that James is talking about is number one, the sun. Number two, the moon. Number three, the stars. So James is literally saying all good gifts, all perfect gifts come from the creator of the sun, the moon, and the stars. The only difference being there is no seasonal change with the Father, though there is with the sun, though there is with the moon, though there is with the stars. With God, there is no change of seasons. He is the perpetual Father of absolute goodness and absolute perfection. Our God is the source of all that is good. If you believe that, say amen. Now, are you with me? Everybody here say, I am here. Say, I am listening. Good. I want you to hear this. When the half-brother of Jesus told the world that the source of good and perfect gifts is a changeless Trinity, a changeless Father, he says the source of good and perfect gifts is the God who made the sun and who made the moon as well as the galaxy. What James was trying to tell us is that the very Trinity of God was manifested to the world, first of all, when he's created the sun and the moon and gave them an order of operation. Now look at this. When Adam was introduced to Eden, Adam didn't have to worry whether the sun would shine and the moon would reflect and the stars would twinkle. Why? Because his creator Father had already created these agencies and had given them properties of power. Because when God created the sun, which was the answer to darkness, God created the sun with three properties of power as a manifestation of his deity and of his power. For when God recognized darkness was not according to his nature. And what brought on the darkness? The fall of Satan. In fact, Genesis 1 and 1 says, in the beginning, who created? I said, who created? In the beginning, God created. What did he create? The heavens and the earth. That's Genesis 1:1. But Genesis 1:2 is a different story. Genesis 1:2 says the created earth and the created heaven was without form and void. And what covered the earth? Darkness. And what caused darkness? The devil. When did it all happen? It all happened in the past of judgment. For you'll remember the earth and the heavens that Creator God made according to Genesis 1 and 1 was made literally millions of years ago. And upon the earth and the heavens about it that God created, there was one authorized ruler. He was a created angel. He was an archangel. His name was Lucifer. And he was given the power over the earth and over the heavens. And all that power was invested in the created Lucifer before the fall. And Lucifer would still be the authorized ruler of God's earth had it not been. His authority was dissipated. His authority became sour. And Lucifer challenged the authority of Creator God. And along with one third of the angels that sympathized, Lucifer and one third of the angels set out to attack the sovereignty of God on the throne of eternity, challenging God's power. Isaiah in chapter 14 tells us what happened when Lucifer challenged God. When Lucifer threatened God, Lucifer and one third of the angels were cast out of heaven as lightning flashes through the sky. And when Lucifer fell, the earth was cursed, and the earth was drowned in a watery grave of darkness because of sin and because of judgment. Darkness has always been symbolic of sin. The Bible says people love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil deeds. And so the darkness of the world was caused by the sin of Satan. God hates darkness. God hates voidness. God never willed for failure. God never willed for sickness. God never willed for unhappiness. God never willed for failure. The will of God is that everything be good and perfect. He is the source of goodness, and He is the source of perfection, not the source of darkness and problems. Everybody still here? Say, I'm here. You say, be on your shirt taking us on an extended trip. I certainly am. Because I want you to know our Father, the source of goodness and perfection, is in control. He always has been in control. And though the devil assumes authority tonight, Satan has no authority over the world of believers. We are redeemed from his kingdom, and we're members of the kingdom of good and the kingdom of a perfect order. Some of you doubters in this crowd say, Bjorn, you just don't know the truth. I'm married to the devil's third cousin. His ancestry survives. Somebody else says, but Bjorn, you don't know. My boss is the devil's uncle. We make excuse for every satanic inroad, but you hear this teacher when I tell you tonight, the only authority and the only power and the only control that Satan has over the redeemed is the control the redeemed agree for him to have. Our God has provided restoration from every dark curse of Satan. I said from every dark curse of Satan, our God has provided restoration. Now some of you religious smarts, get your smart cap on and listen. When God saw the mess that the world suffered from Satan's fall, God did not abdicate his throne. God did not turn things over and say, well, Satan, you outmaneuvered me. You struck first and finally. I capitulate. I give in. Instead, look what the Father did. the Father, seeing darkness, marshaled the very power of the Holy Trinity. And when God the Father saw darkness and recognized darkness was not of His nature, His nature is light, His nature is good, His nature is perfect, His nature is holiness. And when God saw the snare of darkness, His mind and His will was spoken. Who spoke the will of the Father? Jesus. He was with the Father in the beginning, and everything that was made by His creative presence. And so Jesus spoke the will of the Father. And what did the Father say? The Father said, "Let there be light." And what happened? The Holy Ghost was brooding over that dark mess. And when the Holy Ghost quit fluttering and quit moving and quit stirring, there was no darkness, because darkness had been separated from light, and God became the Father of lights. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He became the Father of the Son. And when He became the Father of the Son, S-U-N, He embodied in that Son that was delivered from the curse of darkness three properties that are akin to His nature. The Son has and always will have the property of warmth or heat. The Son always has had and will have the property of light. The Son has had and always will have the property of chemical power or chemical recreation. And here's how it works. The warmth of the Son is the love nature of God the Father. The light of the Son is the revelation truth of Jesus the Son. And the energy of the Son is the Holy Ghost, which gives us the power of life anew and life more abundantly. So the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost are all represented by old Saul, we call it, the brilliant beauty of the sky. As long as the sun's up there, God's still in business. Are you hearing me? Today, I felt the warmth of the Sun. I walked out on the campus of our motel, and the warmth of the Sun penetrated my body. I was invigorated by the warmth of the Sun. And more than that, I was illuminated by the light of the Sun. I was not staggering around in darkness. I was walking in brilliant light. But while I was warmed by the Sun and illuminated by the Sun, I was recreated by the energy of the Holy Ghost, represented by the cosmic energy of the Sun. Let me show you something. You can take an infinitesimally small seed. It could be no more than the size of a mustard seed. You can drop that seed into the ground, old terra firma, cover it over, and the little tiny mustard seed put into the ground lays there for a few hours and goes through the process of death or decomposition. What it's actually doing, it is submitting itself to the life-producing energy of the earth combined with the Sun. And in just a few days, due season rolls around, and the little tiny mustard seed refuses to be dead. Why? Because the energy of the Sun has activated the properties of the earth, and that little mustard seed sticks its head of daring courage up through the crack of the clod. And the next thing you see, that little T90 mustard seed is as big as a tree, and the birds of the air have a perch in which to nest upon. All of this took place because the sun not only gives warmth, the sun not only gives light, but the sun gives energy into the ground to make the ground reproduce, even the smallest seed. Well, thank God you've stayed with me long enough for me to tell you now what I've come to tell you tonight. If I look back across this crowd and I looked at you and said, in a complimentary tone of voice, "You're just plain dirt," somebody would bristle in reaction and say, "Don't talk to me like that." If I looked at you and said, "Hello, mud face," somebody would say, "Now look, the next time you say that, we've got a problem." If I referred to you as just plain dust, plain dirt, plain mud, some of you, if you were not smart, would get offended. But if you're real smart, and I tell you, you're plain dirt, you'd start rejoicing and say, "Just let the warmth of the Father get to me. Just let the light of the sun get to me. Just let the energy of the Holy Ghost get to me, because it is dirt with a seed in it that reproduces," hallelujah, "and brings a harvest over and over and over and over and over again." We've got so many sophisticated churches trying to make angel dust out of their Christians. Those that are not being converted to angel dust are being turned into mummies. And I don't spell that M-O-M-I-E, I spell that M-U-M-M-Y. They're being turned into petrified images of religious form. And churches all across America are filled, at least on Easter and Christmas, with those devoted mannequins, those religious robots that come to church and sit in the galleries and wait for the production to be staged on what is called the platform. And they are so spoiled with religious form that unless they've got a unique personality performing, they literally turn them off. And they look at the watch for 45 minutes saying, "I hope this show is over as quick as possible. I've seen all this drama I want to see. This play's getting boring. This performance is not a thrill to me." The tragedy is, if you see the play of religion once, you've seen it all. If you've seen the show of form once, you've seen it all. Oh, you may have a different colored songbook. Religious form is disgusting. Religious form is disappointing. Religious form is absolutely a disappointment. Because we have a certain religious tendency, we force ourselves to go to the mausoleum of religion. And we go through the ritual. A cheerleader stands up and he says, "Everybody stand, we stand. Raise your hands, we do. Now sit down, we do. Now put them together, we do." And it turns into a Jack LaLanne exercise parlor. Up, ho, hee, ho, up, ho, hee, ho. And after we've had a few calisthenics, somebody says, "Don't you feel better?" And all we can truthfully say is, "I feel different." Whether it's better or worse, I don't know. I do feel different. Everybody still here, say, "I'm here. And I'm listening." That's the reason, my friend, that religious corpses have filled the churches by the hundred. But today, the Father of goodness and the Father of perfect gifts is releasing the power of the Holy Trinity upon believers. Hallelujah! And there is a warmth of the Father the world has never known that's being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And there is a light of the truth that we have never known that is coming by divine revelation to us. And there is recreative works of the Holy Ghost happening today that's as great as the restoration from darkness that God performed on a world that was without form and void. Wherever you turn, there is a church that's alive, who is turning to the source of good, perfect gifts, and that's the Father. And when they turn to the source, He will withhold no good thing. Matthew chapter 7 says, if you be an evil parent, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Father want to give good gifts to His children that ask Him? It's the Father's will that you be in health. It's the Father's will that you be victorious. It's the Father's will that you be prospered. And like Barbara said a moment ago, if Satan has made an expert apology out of you, and you have strived with a degree of success to accept life's situations and learn to cope with them, you take the attitude, well, what is to be will be, and I might as well make the best of it. Hopefully I won't stand in it and suffer from it over 70 years. Maybe I can get a shortcut and get out quicker than that. If you have become a mental apology for Creator God, you have missed God's perfect will for your life. It is the will of the Father that whatever is good, He'll give it to you. Whatever is perfect, He'll bestow it upon you. Is it good for your body to be well? Is it good for your bank account to be sufficient? Is it good for your children to be saved? Is it good for your church to be blessed? Is it good for this town to be resurrected? And I have a vision. It is an awesome, frightful vision that the Lord has shown me since I came into this hall tonight about this community. I literally see one of the darkest clouds hanging over the religious community of this town. It's almost like a storm cloud. It's almost pitch black. There is a lot of religious rejection and religious disappointment in this community of yours. There are many people who have almost decided it's all farce. It's all foolery. It's all fakery. It's all imperfect. It's all bad. There is nothing good left. But let me tell you, my Father has a resort for the works of the devil, and I see a new light shining on this community with a crowd of people who dare to believe their identity with the Father of goodness will relay through you His warmth, His light, and His recreative power. Are you hearing me? I said, are you hearing me, beloved? There is coming to this hour and this town an awakening of the fatherhood of God. And God never dishes out anything bad. Are you hearing me? The AMA and the doctors of divinity and the soothsayers and the fortune tellers will all tell us life is bad. Make the best of it. And let the rest go by. I've got a new message to you tonight. The message is, life is from God. And life from God is a good life. Life from God is a perfect life. and life from God is something that will not vary with the seasons. What God starts, God will bring to pass. Look at this body. Listen to this voice. Hear what I'm telling you. 3 years ago today, I could not walk. I had been devastated by the vehicle, the truck. I could not eat. My whole body was in a turmoil, an absolute physical revolt. And in order to cope, I was a drugged maniac, addicted to the powers of sedation. And honestly, friend, there isn't any difference between prescription drugs and bootleg drugs. The only difference is the source. They both will destroy your sanity. And I had become a babbling, stumbling, erring idiot. I couldn't feed myself. I was incapable of a decision, even of minor nature. I was a has-been. And Satan was having high carnival, rejoicing in my defeat. Every time I would hear some voice tell me, B. Owen, God's correcting you. God's chastising you. I would have a negative, violent reaction, and I would say, well, what kind of a God is he that'll beat me to death? And me crying every day, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just what kind of a God is he after all? And in total despair, I was resigned to death. And I tell you this because it could help some person in this room. I was in such mental depravity that one day when the pain of my body was unbearable and I'd swallowed narcotics until I was immune to their power to ease pain, in a state of insanity, I decided to kill myself. I got my gun to do it. I went back into the bedroom and all I said, I hope you understand, God. And I was driven by my despair to do anything to get out of another week of hell. And I had gone so far as to put the barrel of my pistol behind my ear, and I pulled the hammer of that gun back to a deaf position. What in the next room, Barbara's ears heard my insane action. And she rushed into the room, threw her arms around my shaking, distraught body, and pleaded that Jesus would deliver. Suddenly, the gun was dropped. I fell in sheer defeat. I thought to myself, I have completely insulted God. And he really will be mad at me now. But it was only a few days after I found out my Father is not a father of summer only, spring or fall or winter. My God is the same without season. James said the source of goodness and the source of perfection does not have seasonal highs and seasonal lows. Our Father is the same yesterday, today, and eternally. He will always be God. Everybody raise your hand up and say, he's my Father. Say it again, he's my Father. He's not mad at you. He wants to give you the gift of healing. He wants to give you the gift of prosperity. He wants to give you the gift of happiness. He wants to give you the gift of faith. In fact, he has sent the Holy Ghost into the world that the Holy Ghost on spot could give severally as he wills any of many spiritual endowments that it might edify us, preserve us, keep us unto a perfect day. Hallelujah to God. Oh, I'm so thrilled that by divine revelation I realize we have the victory over sin, over Satan, over sickness, and over shadows. Oh, because our victory is from the source of the fatherhood of God. And his fatherhood never wanes. Are you hearing me? I'm talking to some prodigals tonight. Some of you have had your own way. You've run from your father. You've fled from his family. You've had rendezvous after rendezvous in a foreign country. You've wasted your life. Your substance is gone. You're empty. You're despondent. And there seems to be no hope. But remember the change of the prodigal, Luke 15. The book says when he came to himself, he said, there is one that hasn't changed. I've changed. My friends have changed. Circumstance has changed. Everything has changed but my father. He said, I'm not going to stay like this anymore. I will arise. I'll go back to my father. And he practices prayer all the way from the foreign country to the old home place. And here's how he said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to say, Father, I've made a mess of things. I've embarrassed you. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to even be called your son. Now, if you'll just allow me to be your slave, I'd rather be your slave, Father, than to be the son of a foreigner. And I want you to know my choice is, I'd rather be a slave to God that a son of the devil. You like that? I'd rather be God's servant, because anything that comes from God is good, and anything that comes from God is perfect. I'd rather be a servant of a good God than a son of an evil source, the devil. And before that prodigal said his prayer, he was smothered with kisses. He was smothered with restoration. He was robed. He was wrung. He was shooed. He was restored. And here's what the Father said. He's still my son. Even though he prodigaled, he's still my son. And though he was dead, he is alive. And though he was lost, he's found. And though he was blind, he sees. Hallelujah. My fatherhood never failed. And so he brought, of course, you know the whole story as a 20th century version. He had an older brother who was a religious nut. He had an older brother that was obsessed with jealousy. He had an older brother that didn't want to see a prodigal blessed. He had an older brother that did not want anybody but himself only to be rewarded. The father ignored the elder brother and celebrated the homecoming of the prodigal nonetheless. Glory. I said, glory. And who but Father God would do that? Who but Father God would do that? Before I pray for the sick and share my healing gift with you, I want every person in this room that can honestly say, look, Bjorn, I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't really lived as I should. I know it. God knows it. I'm ashamed that my life has not been a life of perfect loyalty. And if I was going to die by midnight, there's a few things I'd like to reconcile. There's a few forgivenesses I'd like to get. And there's a few forgivenesses I'd like to give. If I was going to die before midnight, Bjorn, I'd like to talk to the Father just a minute and be sure that everything was like it ought to be. And I want you to pray for me tonight. I've slipped, I've erred, I've prodigal, I have slipped away. But tonight, I want back to the Father. I want His love. I want His light. And I want His power to be resident in my life. Would you say a prayer for me before you pray for the sick? I have slipped, and I want to be restored. Pray for me. Anywhere over the house, hold that hand up. I want a special prayer just for you. God love you, sweetheart. God love you, brother. God love you, dear. God love you, sir. God love you, sweetheart. God bless you, brother. God bless you, dear. God bless you and you and you. Mother, God bless you. God bless you down here at the front. Who else? And I see you and you and you. Anybody else with these? I see you back yonder. I see you back yonder. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now. I really need prayer, Bjorn. But if I raise my hand and ask that you pray that I be restored, is that going to be me telling the whole church I'm backslidden? No! In fact, it's none of their business. This is a matter between you and God. I said, this is a matter between you and God. And everybody that shines on the outside doesn't have serenity on the inside. It's God that looks on the heart. And if you want total fellowship with the Father of good and perfect gifts, and you want my prayer, all you got to do is forget about what people say or think and slip your hand up, and I'll remember you with ease. I want everybody who raised your hand to stand to your feet while the music is playing. I'm going to pray for the sick. We're going to have many, many miracles in a moment. But the thing I need to do more than anything else is to have a prayer for you sweet people who said, be on, pray for me. Look at those getting up. Look at them getting up. I want every one of you that are standing, come just near enough that I can touch you. Come on. Come down near enough that I can touch you. Brother Ken, I want you to look at the spirit of restoration that's on your body, on this church. I want you to look at this. I want you to look at this, the spirit of restoration, the spirit of love, the spirit of the Father. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. I'm ready to pray. I want everybody in this house, extend your right hand toward these people and believe with me that my prayer of deliverance will set them free right now. Here comes another one, and I'm beginning to pray right now. Father, Father, oh, Father, Father of goodness, Father of love, I come to you in behalf of everyone who is standing here now. And Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus that the past with its mistakes will now be buried. That the past and its regrets will now be expunged. Regardless of how their sins have been registered, they may have been scarlet, they may have been red, they may have been black, but everybody who has come to this front tonight, Father, I pray for a purging of power, a purging of love, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you it's happening, in Jesus' name. You said that if we would ask, you would give good gifts. We're asking, Father. We're asking through our tears, through our confession, through our penitence, through our prayers. We're asking, Father, in Jesus' name, that our records be washed white. And let everybody who stands in front of me join me in this prayer. Say, Father, say it out loud. Father, I confess my sins and failures. Father God, forgive me, I pray. Cleanse me, I pray. Restore me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray. Cleanse me, I pray, in Jesus' name. I refuse, Father, to be a slave to Satan. I am a son of God, a child of God. In Jesus' name, I am. In Jesus' name, I am. Hallelujah. Look at me now. Do you know how to prove that all your past is covered by the blood? Do you know what kind of a witness you can have that'll let you know that there is no charge against you? The record is snow white and clean. Here's the witness. If you feel love and forgiveness toward others, that proves you have been forgiven. For when you forgive, you are forgiven. And when you forgive, you automatically begin to love. I want each of you standing right here, I want you fellas, turn to some fellow near you. I want you to say to that fellow, brother, in Christ, I love you. I want you ladies to turn to some lady and say, friend, in Christ, I love you. Come on. Come on. Shed the love. Let the love of God shed abroad. Love somebody. For love is of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I want every one of you that are standing, oh, I love you. Come here, pal. I'm talking to you. Come here.
A new creature. Your life will become the most prosperous it has ever been. Your joy will be unspeakable joy. Your glory will be a fullness of God's glory. You are new in Christ. In God. Amen. God help you.
I've just heard from heaven. I will be here tomorrow night. I will be here at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And I'll tell you why. The Lord has just revealed to me that the purest faith in this house to heal the sick is not my faith, nor your faith, but their faith. They are new creations. And the power of new creative faith is in their hearts. You're going to see something you've never seen in a church before. I want all of you that have been restored and filled with a joy of faith and assurance, I want you to turn around with your backs like mine and face the crowd. Come right up here. Make a line. You're going to see something you've never seen before. I know that's true because I've never seen it. These are the healing hands that will heal the sick. Mark 16 says, they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Who? They. Who's they? Believers. These people believe more than anybody else in Santa Rosa tonight because they have been restored. Hallelujah. Not that they're worthy, but God is good. I want everybody that's sick, stand to your feet wherever you are. All that have come for a healing of your body, stand up wherever you are. Stand up wherever you are. Stand up. Whatever your need is, get up. Oh, this is going to be the greatest miracle service I've ever seen. I want each of you that want a healing for your body to come down to the front, stand right in front of these people. Glory to God. All right, come on. Look at me, believers. Look at me. I want every one of you, when you see some one person coming down, I want you to let the Spirit of love lead you. And I want you go to the one you're led to pray for, put your hand upon them, and all I want you to pray is, Father, I confess in Jesus' name they're healed. I believe, and because I believe, they're going to receive the good gift. It's their gift of healing. Go and minister to them in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. I said, every one of you, lay hands on somebody and let's see miracles happen. Glory to God.
Oh, hallelujah. Look at that. Look at that. Oh, glory to God. I said, glory to God. Look at that. I want you to minister healing to them. In the name of Jesus, minister healing. And when they feel the healing touch, they're going to know it, you're going to know it, and God will get the glory. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I said, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Little song leader. Little deer here with a blue jacket. Come here, sweetheart. I want you to select one of the choruses the Holy Ghost led you to lead us in. I want everybody in this house to join in and sing with you. Let's glorify the Lord, the healer. I'm going to go through the crowd and see how many miracles happen. Everybody stand up and let's glorify God with a song of praise.